today we're going to do some examples. And also we got class evaluation. We're going to remember at the end. First of all, look at what we did last day. Oh man, not this problem again. Guess what the solution was? To quit Firefox and start, or quit Chrome and start again. Gotta find out what the problem is with that. Stuff you learned in LNA help and feedback?
I'm not sure actually. I really had no idea what we were doing when we did Bode plots
in LNA. But now you understand it. Yeah.
It takes some time.
Yeah.
It probably made it kind of easier this time.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, let's just kind of remember what we were up to here. Last day we did a couple of op-amp examples, and maybe we'll do a couple more op-amp examples. Op-amp examples are the easiest things to apply feedback to in electronics. And often what I do when I'm thinking of a transistor example, I try and think of that transistor amplifier as an op-amp circuit, okay? And think about what I would do to an op-amp circuit like that. You know, where are the inputs, where are the outputs, and try and use those ideas on a transistor amplifier. The things that make transistor amplifiers are more difficult is you've got biasing considerations to worry about. You've got to keep the DC bias right in the transistor. And you know, at the same time when you apply a feedback, and sometimes the feedback can affect the bias as well as the small signal model. And so those are some issues. Of course, you know, if you have the right kind of transistor circuit, like your transistor circuit is like an op-amp, and everything becomes just as easy as an op-amp. But often that's not the case. So what I want to do is I want to do an op-amp example or two more, and then we'll do some transistor amplifier examples so that you can kind of see how to apply that to transistor amplifiers. So Bryson is here. Okay, so here's what we did last day. We did a current input voltage output amplifier, and current input always has on the input this kind of a parallel configuration. I always just draw a line like that and a line down like that when I've got to do current input, right? Why do I do that? Because this is going to be IS, this is going to be II, and that's going to be IF, and that's the next thing I draw. I draw IF, II, and IS, okay? And then I've got the amplifier. I don't draw the plus and minus on the op amp until I've figured out whether this beta network is going to give me a positive or a negative answer on the beta network. If the beta network, if beta is less than zero, if it's a negative beta, then I need a negative A, okay? Otherwise, I'll be doing positive feedback. So I have to have both A and beta negative in order to have negative feedback. Otherwise, the bottom of the transfer function, you know, where it normally says 1 plus beta A, it'll say 1 minus beta A. And if you end up with where beta A equals 1, you know, then you've got a zero on the bottom, right? And that's liable to go right through the roof. you know? So that's not kind of what you want to do. So in this case, we had current input. I drew this thing on the input and the voltage output. Now, when you have voltage output, you draw off, you know, your load resistor, and you come off in parallel, because to measure voltage, it's an across kind of quantity. It's like height, and so you measure across there. So I just come out with my measurement wire right here, and then I have to think about a beta network, some kind of a network that will take a voltage and turn it into a current. So last day, what we did was the simplest network I could think of, just a resistor, right? And then a second trick that goes on this thing that's somewhat helpful is this. When you have op amps, the voltage across the input terminals there is driven to zero, right? And so you can actually think about this thing as being like essentially ground right here, so that the beta network you can see in this case is the voltage here minus the voltage here, which is zero over RF, right? So, you know, because you know you're going to be adding negative feedback to this thing, you know that these voltages are going to be driven to a very small voltage. In reality, it's not zero. It might be to 1 microvolt or something, you know, something very, very small, okay? And so this becomes a very, very good approximation. And so that's another trick. So this was a current input voltage output amplifier, which is a transresistance amplifier. And then the next one we did was, maybe the opposite of that, if I remember right. Okay, here's the diagram for the transresistance amplifier. And you see that the gain there is RF. By the way, you can also see that just by the rules of ideal op-amp analysis here. If you put IS in here, can't go in there, has to go down here. This is 0 volts, so that's minus RF times IS. Right? So you know, you can see the gain is minus RF, right? And notice that's also, if the beta network here is minus 1 over RF, then what is the gain? The gain is 1 over beta, that says minus RF. And that's, of course, what we got on the next page here. Whoops, I did previous, I went next. Okay, so that's what we got here. You can see AF is minus RF. Okay. So here's the next example we did last day, transconductance amplifier. And whenever I do a voltage input, this is a voltage input, current output. Whenever I do a voltage input, I draw my VS over here, I draw my VI right here, and I draw my VF right there. So you can see VS equals VI plus VF, or VI equals VS minus VF, right? That's the input side of that block diagram. I always do that if it's voltage input. I just start out with that, right? This is going to be the output of my beta network. This is the input to my amplifier. So once I have this thing, I put the amplifier there. I don't necessarily write the plus and minus yet, okay? Because I'm not sure whether this VF will be positive when I increase the output quantity, whatever that happens to be, or negative. If this guy gets more negative when I increase the output quantity, then I make the minus up there and the plus down here. If it gets more positive, then I put the plus up here and the minus down there, okay? And when you change the sign on these guys, what it does, like the last example, it gave us a gain of minus RF, right? And that's the effect. If your beta is negative, you have to change your A to be negative too. And when your A is negative, you know, you've got minus A over 1 plus beta A kind of thing, right? I mean, it's a negative number on top, so you get a negative gain, okay? And that makes sense, because remember, your gain is approximately 1 over beta. If beta is negative, you're going to get that, right? So anyway, this is what I always do. And then on the current output, if it's a current output, the first thing I do is I draw the RL. And like Andrew said, you always hook your beta network onto the bottom end of RL, okay? You always have to make sure the current is going through RL. Whatever goes through RL is the output current. And that is the thing that has to go into your beta network to create, what in this case, a voltage on the other side, right? So in our case, you know, we have this RL comes in here, goes down through here, makes a VF here, and the beta network is just RF, because I out times RF gives me VF. And so this is RF. This is the gain of the amplifier here. This GM here would be it would be the AV of this guy right here, which gives me a voltage output. The AV divided by RL, you know, would be the GM. AV would be the voltage gain of this guy. So that's the GM. And here's your block diagram. And so your gain in this case would be 1 over RF. And that would be the amount of current that's going over through here divided by the amount of voltage you put in there, the transfer function. Does that make sense? And all of these things, you know, I'm using resistors here, but you can always use, you know, like capacitors or any impedance you like. And the gain, in this case, if you put an impedance here, would be 1 over ZF, right? Is that okay? And there was an interesting problem, I think, in your homework that Bryson was showing me, that basically it's even more than just 1 over the beta is the gain. It's actually, if you look at beta, if you look at XF is equal to beta, which is a function of X out, right? If you put a nonlinear thing in there instead of a linear thing, so this is a function, not just a multiply, right? Then what you end up with is your gain, the A after feedback, equals beta inverse of XS. I mean, that's equal to X out. X out is beta inverse of X out is beta inverse of XS. And how do I get that? Well, if you want to just quickly look at how we would convince you of that, here's my A right here. And this is my beta network. It's beta of, here's X out. X out, that gives me XF. XF equals beta of X out, right? And I got a minus sign here and a plus sign here, and this is XI. Okay? Well, in this network, we already know that XI is driven to zero. So the limit as A goes to infinity of XI goes to zero. Okay, this is like the error signal right here. Here's XS. So this guy tends to go to zero. That's like the difference voltage across your op amp or whatever. This is the XI. This tends to zero. Why is that? Because A is gigantic. X out is a finite number. A finite number divided by a gigantic number is basically zero, right? So this guy tends to be zero. So what does that tell you? That tells you that XS is equal to, that tells you XS minus XF equals zero, right? So XS minus XF then is approximately zero, right? And so that tells you that XS equals approximately XF, which was beta X out, right? Beta of X out. It's a nonlinear function, right? And then if you just invert this, you get X out equals the inverse function, beta inverse of XS. Aha! So here's what you could do with this. If you took, you remember that the diode relationship, the Shockley diode equation, which was an exponential thing that went up? If you wanted to, or the IB relationship, IB is a function of VBE, right? So if you wanted to, you could take a diode or a transistor and put it in the feedback, okay? Kind of like we just had here on the last one here. Let's just look at this right here. Was it this one? Let's just look at that. So maybe we'll do the first example here. Example. Make a logarithmic amplifier. So what I have is either ID equals I zero e to the q VD over NKT, that's an exponential relationship, or I could use IB equals IB0 e to the Q BBE over NKT, right? And these are both for forward bias. Okay, so now if we think about this, if I'm going to use this as my inverse, as my beta of x out, then what is x out? X out would be a voltage, like VBE or VBD, right? Does that make sense? And my feedback quantity would be a current, IB or ID, okay? Does that make sense? So if I was to make this thing, I would need an amplifier with a current input and voltage output. Now, I need a current input and voltage output. So it's not this one, it must be the other one. So let's look at the other one. It would be more like this. A current input and voltage output, right? So what would I do? I basically want to replace that RF with an ID, with a diode, right? So let's just check it out. So if I did this thing like this, which is just following the same thing, here's IS, right? Here's IF, and here's II, right? And this guy would probably go to ground here, and then I have to have my output. So here's the load resistor right here. We said we had V out right here across this, right? So I need to come off here, and I need to go in over here something to make an IF. And I'm thinking that, you know, whatever this voltage is will be the same as that voltage because I'm putting a thing in feedback here, right? So I'm going to put a diode here. And so I'm just going to put something like that. There's my diode, right? And so this V out right here, V out is equal to VD, right? And then I've got this current input here. Now this is actually going to give me an ID, which is going in that way, but I have IF going that way, so I make this a minus and that a plus. I just have negative feedback again by changing the sign here, right? And now I've got V out, and here's my RL here. And so what would this give me? This would give me V out is approximately equal to the inverse relationship of this, right? Which would be, you know, I guess I'd need to solve for that, right? So how would that be? I would say I would have up an ID, which is equal to ID equals minus IF. Oops. Big IF, I guess, right? ID equals minus IF. And so this would be, so the output, instead of, I think of IF as being approximately equal to XS. So my IS is the thing there. So I'm going to have IS divided by I0. I'm dividing by this I0. And then I have to take ln of, oh, it's ln of that. So it's ln of IS over I0, I0. And then I have to multiply by NKT over Q. And this would be equal to, I guess I could just put it on the other side, equals V out, right? V out equals approximately. Okay? Isn't that clever? Now, these days, that's not so important as it used to be. It used to be, you know, when you'd make an instrument, you would like to have some kind of a dB scale on your meter, right? What would you do? This is what you'd do, right? Because then this would drive some meter over here, you know, some voltage. Now logarithmically, and logarithmic kind of a thing is a dB scale, right? So that's what you do, and you can fix up the constants here by, you know, changing the gain here on how much IS you put in. So that, you know, instead of IS over I0, it might be, you know, you can get rid of the I0 or make this however scaled you want. And this part right down over here, you can scale out after the log has been taken. Right? 20 log instead of a log base 10 instead of Q, you know, NKT over Q times LN, right? Does that make sense? This is the inverse function of this guy right up here, right? And actually, I think the most of the time when I've seen people do this, they often use a transistor, a BJT like this. And they will likely let's see here. I probably shouldn't venture what I remember because it might not be right. But I think they usually often put a transistor in there with like a wire between the collector and the emitter and the base or something. Right, I got ID is equal to minus IF, which is approximately IS. Is that right? Negative IS, right? Yeah, because there's no current going in there. Yeah. So should this be minus IS here? I think it needs to be a minus. Because yeah, right. See, the current actually can't go through the diode that way. It's got to be negative. So you got to put in a negative IS in order to get this to work, right? Does that make sense? The current actually flows through the diode like this. We had to have this is for forward bias right here. Reverse bias, you know, then we got other problems. So probably go to saturation, you know.
High I isn't really there then.
Well, II is small, but it's you know, so this is why this is approximate, you know. So anyway, there's an example for that kind of thing. This is an inverse function amplifier, and you can see you could use any inverse function here. You know, if you get a circuit that, you know, cubes something, then you can make a circuit that does the cube root or whatever the inverse function is. Okay. And it, you know, if you think about the normal thing where our beta is just a multiplier, you know, if XF equals beta X out, right? If you just do the same thing, the inverse function for a multiplier is a 1 over that thing, right? So, yeah. Works just fine. Okay, so let's do another example. Have we done a current input, current output amplifier? You guys remember? Let's do a current input, current output amplifier. So, current amplifier. Okay, so current amplifier. So I start with IS here, right? And I just draw this thing, and I draw this thing, and this is one thing, and that's the other. This is II, right? This is IF. And this guy goes to ground here. Put on my amplifier, like this, right? And current output. So what do? I put the load resistor on here, RL. Now, where do I pick off the, the pickoff for the beta network? Where do I hook up the beta network? At the bottom of RL, right? because this is I out here, right? Whatever goes through the load resistor is I out. So pick off the bottom of the R I out here, and I need to convert current to current. What kind of circuit do you know that converts current to current? It needs to actually be a current. You put a big current in, you get a little current out, because I want this amplifier to have a gain greater than one, right?
So. Two resistors?
Right, yeah, maybe a current divider, right? So if I put a current divider here, a current divider is essentially, I assume this is something you learned in circuits, but in case you didn't, because I was talking to somebody yesterday and they didn't remember this. So if I call this I out here, and this is R1, and this is R2, and I want the current in I over here, I'm going to call I2, that's the current in R2. There'll be a voltage across here, which is V, right? And so if I take, if I want to find V, V is equal to IS, or IO in this case, times the parallel combination here, which is just R1, R2 over R1 plus R2, right? And that's V, and if I take V and I divide it by R2, I get I2, right? I2 equals V over R2, which equals I0 R1 over R1 plus R2, right? You guys kind of remember that? So basically, this is like a river comes along here. There's an island in the middle of the river. Part of the river flows around the left, part flows around the right, right? And when you find out how much flows around the left, you have to take the size of the resistance over here on the other side. If the resistance is really big over here, it makes a lot more flow over here, right? So that goes up on top. And you know, if this resistor gets big, it flows, makes a lot more over here, right? Or you can actually do this conductance-wise. If you do this conductances, it becomes I0 times G2 over G1 plus G2, okay? So anyway, I'm going to make a current divider here, so I need to make two resistors, right? One of them, which comes over here and flows into IF, and the other one, I guess, just goes down to ground. And the reason that why I put it to ground is because, essentially, I'm going to make this other side here ground. Okay? Now, can you tell me which one, what goes on the top here, plus or minus? Yes, Trent. And why is that, Trent? Ah! As bad as my daughter, she just guesses, right? Yeah, because you see, this I out here is going to make a current that goes that way, right there. If I make this I out big, it's going to make the current going up here big, right? And the current that I want is IF, is the opposite direction, right? So there's a minus on the beta network, so I need to make a minus in the A network. Is that okay? Do you guys see that? Maybe we should actually do that too. Let me just show you here. If I have my little thing right here, A, and I've got beta here, minus, plus. Okay, this is XI, I, and XF, and XO here. You see, if I change the sign on this guy right here, but I can't change the sign on that guy because, you see, this is coming down here as the sign on that guy. You know, if that was up, then it would change the sign on that guy. So I can't change that sign. But if I change this sign right here, then everything is still negative feedback. In other words, you see, if beta is negative, I want to make A negative. And why is that important? If you think about the gain formula here, A after feedback is equal to A over 1 plus beta A, okay? If beta and A are both positive, this guy, you'll never have a zero on the bottom, right? You'll never go to infinity. So all is well. And you can see that if beta and A are both positive, the gain after feedback is much less than the gain was before feedback, right? It cut the gain down, right? That's what negative feedback does. It cuts the gain down, right? When it cuts the gain down, you see, remember, we wanted 1 over 1 plus beta A to be small for all our good effects, right? If we make 1 over 1 plus beta A big, which it could be if 1 plus beta A ended up being 0 because beta was negative, right? Then we would lose all our good effects from feedback, right? They would all become bad effects because instead of making it better, it made it worse, right? And so that would be positive feedback. And so what I'm saying is, if beta changes sign, I jolly well better change sign on A, and of course that changes the sign on A after feedback, but I'll take that in order to keep my good effects. I mean, in other words, I'll have a gain, an inverting amplifier, one that, you know, that has a negative sign in the gain, right? In other words, it's minus 10 instead of plus 10 or something, right? Is that okay? So what I'm saying here is if beta is less than 0, make A less than 0. And how do you make A less than 0? Well, you swap the inputs on the op-amp, right? Is that okay? This is a differential amplifier. You just swap those, okay? So that's all I'm doing. So anyway, let's see, what was I doing here? Which one do I want? I2. I want to make this I2, so this would be R2 right here. And I'll make this guy R1. And so my beta network, beta in this case, is equal to R1 over R1 plus R2, right? And so what kind of an amplifier is this thing? Well, let's see. It's a current amplifier. And the gain, that implies the A after feedback, is equal to R1 plus R2 over R1, which is equal to 1 plus R2 over R1. So we have a current amplifier that has the same gain as that voltage amplifier, the non-inverting voltage amplifier, except now it's multiplying current, right? Does that make sense? Okay, great. Well, I think Renee is going to be here in just a minute to do evaluations. What's that? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, what it means by short circuit or open circuit gain, what that means is when you take the load resistor and you replace it with a short circuit or an open circuit, okay? And so for a current output amplifier, you'd want to put a short circuit on there because basically that's what it is nicest to drive a current with, right? And then whatever your output impedance is would not matter, okay? And if it's a voltage amplifier, the open circuit gain is what matters because that means you have a load resistor that's infinity and you're putting infinity across there, which doesn't change the voltage at all, right? No matter what the output impedance was. So the open circuit and short circuit gains are actually, they're those little diamond-shaped sources you have in the thing because, you see, they don't change when the load resistor is something or other. Not the load resistor, the output resistor is something or other. That gives you the value of in the voltage amplifier box, that's the value of the little diamond shaped dependent source, right?
So is there any difference between the gain used to calculate input resistance and the one for output resistance? It's the same thing, just a different name.
Are you saying the closed loop or the open loop gain?
No, I'm saying.
Well, roughly they're the same, but sometimes what you have to do is you actually have to calculate in a circuit. You actually have to go back to circuits and use the value for just use circuit analysis, right? Like those things we came up with, the output impedance dropped by a factor of 1 plus beta A, that's only ideally in the ideal beta network, Does that make sense? I mean, we had an ideal beta network that had no loading effect, right? And we also had no output. Well, we had an output impedance when we did that, but we didn't include the beta network output impedance. Right, yeah. When you're assuming it's not ideal, you know, when you're not assuming it's ideal, you should actually, you know, in most cases, actually use circuit analysis to go back and do that. Well, I would use circuit analysis on the circuit after feedback in order to find the output impedance in a real circuit, if I really wanted the real output impedance. I know it's going to drop if I'm using, say, you know, if it's a voltage output kind of a thing, but that thing that we derived in class, dividing by 1 plus beta A, that's only approximate because the beta network doesn't have an infinite output impedance in most cases. Like all these resistor networks we've used, they don't have an infinite, you know, input and output or input impedance and zero output impedance or whatever it needs for the zero output impedance. Okay, so Renee is here to do evaluations, and I haven't done this before, but I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what evaluations do. They actually make a difference. And I don't know whether you guys, you know, have been filling them out with careful thought or not. But, you know, I was on rank and tenure committee for the last, 5 years or something. And so I saw what happens to, you know, student evaluations from professors. And if you go, like, across campus to social work or whatever, those guys get, you know, all fives. You know, and I'm not sure exactly why it is, but, you know, I mean, those kind of soft sciences, that's what happened, you know, those kind of things. Engineering and mathematics and whatever, you know, they're always low, okay? Well, why is that? Probably because maybe we require more of you, and so you expect more of us, right? But those things do make a big difference in people's tenure. And I don't know, 2 years ago, I did an experiment, which was a failed experiment, a really bad experiment. I thought, my students are all playing computer games instead of doing my homework, so I'm going to turn homework into a computer game. And so, you know, instead of doing homework, you'll play a computer game. And this computer game was going to be homework. And you'll be competing with all your classmates for your grade. Well, that was a bad mistake. It was a horrible thing because you guys all like to work together, right? And you know, say Brandon and Ted were working together, and Ted doesn't like it when he does something that is going to hurt Brandon's grade, right? Even if it makes his better. So it was a horrible thing, okay? But it took me a couple, 3 weeks to figure out that was, you know, that everybody disliked it. They just hated it, right? So I switched back, but I found out it was very easy to, you know, once people have a bad taste in their mouth, it doesn't matter what you do, there's nothing going to be good after that, right? And so I ended up burning all my reputational capital, and I got some really bad results, okay? Really bad, you know, get rid of this teacher kind of results. And so then rank and tenure committee did the thing to me, said, look it, you've got 2 or 3 years to fix this up, and if you don't start getting fours and fives again, you're out of here. So, you know, when you guys vote, it's the first four things or five that the rank and tenure committee looks at. The things like, I don't know, I can read you the things here. This is what they look at for every professor. And those ones are, you know, one, this course as a whole was. And if you put E, then you get a 5. If you put VG, very good, a 4. If you put good, that's actually bad, right? That's a 3. And if you put poor or fair, that's failing. And if you put poor, that's like get rid of this guy right now. And if you put very poor, that's get rid of this guy right now with bold letters, right? So the first four that count are the course as a whole was, the course content was, the instructor's contribution to the course was, the instructor's effectiveness in teaching the subject matter was, okay? And so those are the four ones that you need to really concentrate on and make sure that you answer them truthfully and, you know, to the best of your ability, right? And when you do evaluations, those are the ones you need to think about for not just me, but for everybody, right? And so, you know, your vote does count. I mean, it does make a difference. So anyway, do this thing not with sloppiness or just kind of, oh, well, you know, whatever. Think about it, right? Because it actually makes a difference. So I'll let you take over here and give this to Renee. And maybe I can get Renee to erase the board.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, a whole pile that I'm missing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.